Em, can you believe we are in our third season of Interview Boss?
Not really. It's crazy. But that means there are over 90 episodes we've made.
Oh my God. Scrolling through all of our episode titles, you might miss an episode that actually is exactly what you're looking for.
Yes, we get so many messages of people asking us to do an episode on something and we're like, we already have. So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are best suited to you. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, and job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
Yes, and we even have a playlist for if you have an interview like tomorrow and you need just our most recommended episodes, just the ones you really need between now and then.
Exactly. It is all there for you. You can browse by category. Check out the playlist at www.interviewboss.com.au/podcast.
Most people don't leave reviews for the companies that they've worked for.
But you're gonna leave one if you're pissed off and you hated them. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for that new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey Em, and welcome back everyone. Who are we shouting out this week?
We are giving a big fat shout out to our friend Ella, who said, "Hi Emma and Sarah, I want to extend my deepest gratitude to both of you for producing amazing content. Recently I graduated from university and I felt anxious about landing a job. I thought I was going to land a job offer from a company I loved and envisioned myself in after two interviews. However, things happened for a reason and I kept on applying. Eventually a company, which I totally forgot about that I applied to, reached out for an interview. Upon the days leading up to it, I found your podcast and felt so at peace and relaxed. Right before I walked in, I listened to the Listen to This Before the Interview episode and felt extra confident and my butt cheeks were clenched the entire time. After meeting, I felt connected with the staff and the work environment at this company. Naturally, I listened to the episode, Listen to This While You're Waiting to Hear Back, and quite literally trained my mind to forget about the company. Just a few moments ago, I received the offer letter."
Oh, I love it.
This makes me so happy. This is how you do it, people.
It is. And it's so hard, Ella. Like, honestly, it really is. Everyone who's listening, I get it. I know that we have the Listen to This While You're Waiting to Hear Back. It's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. But bloody works, because you thinking about and obsessing about that job isn't going to change the outcome, but it will torture you mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And if you can get through this whole process looking for a new job with your sanity intact, that's a better outcome. And sometimes the offer does pop up. So we wanted to include this shout out just to show you that those techniques can really help you out.
100%. Good things come to those who forget about the job that they're fantasizing about, okay?
That's
if
right.
If you forget about it, good things will... No, I can't give that as a blanket disclaimer. But
no, that's right.
It's going to help you not suffer.
Yes. And we know if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, they talk about this so often. Like, I get it. We keep talking about it because 99% of our DMs are still, hey, I'm waiting on this job and it's been this amount of weeks and blah, 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 and this happened and that happened. What do you think I should do? It's people who are waiting to hear back.
It's still eating people up inside. So we're going to keep yapping about it.
It is. And sometimes you need to hear it a few more times for it to sink in.
If you need more advice of ours to sink in a little bit more, you can sign up to Interview Academy, where we have our first crop of alumni graduating with great success. It is a step-by-step-by-step guide on the interview process. It helps you break down everything into small steps so you can go into any interview for the rest of your life feeling prepared.
Yeah. If the tips we give you here aren't broken down enough and you need to say, help me fill in a worksheet. I want to know one by one exactly what I need to do to prep. Help me break it down. How do I come up with my best bits? How do I turn them into interview answers? Then check out Interview Academy. It's way more in-depth than we can do on a podcast because there's worksheets and videos and activities and all sorts of stuff that we can't do here. So go and check it out at interviewboss.com.au.
Now, As always, if you have a situation or pickle that you would like us to shed light on, follow us on Instagram and you can slide into our DMs. Note I said follow first because I get a little bit upset when people come into the DMs aggressively help and they want me to give up my precious time, but they can't give us a follow. So if you're going to ask for some help, it's a two-way street here. We both have full-time jobs. We bust our ass to do this. Please follow us. And I would love to shed some light on your situation. And I must say, this has gotten better since I've started being harsh about this. So I do see, sometimes I check, I'll look at a message and then I check our little heart tab and I'll go, oh, they just followed. Well done. I'd love to get back to you.
That's so good. And look, I want to say, we can't promise, Emma, just because you follow that we definitely will reply. We do get overwhelmed sometimes with DMs.
No, but it's common courtesy. It's polite. If you're asking something of us and you're benefiting from our free show, you can subscribe a follow. It won't kill you.
I agree. So, speaking of Mary, who now I'm really wanting to check if she does follow us. I'm sure she does.
We can't dish the dirt live on Mary. No, I'm sure she did.
Mary said, "Hello, interview bosses. I recently discovered your podcast and am obsessed. No joke, I've listened to every episode you have in about a week." Oh my God, that's a lot of listening.
That is some serious listening. Wow,
and it's been so helpful. "I have an interview in 2 days and I appreciate that you may not see this in time, but I just realized the company has horrible reviews on Glassdoor." She put horrible in capital letters. "I am, however, desperate for a job and currently unemployed. Is it a bad idea to ask at the end as one of my questions if they're aware of their employee reviews and what they've done to address them? Or would it be best just to pretend I've never seen them? They have made me worried."
Ooh.
Oh my gosh, this is a dilemma.
Initial reaction, this perfectly displays the dualities of the job search because you can be at the same time concerned, want to find a good job, be doing all your research, find they've got bad reviews, but at the same time, you're unemployed and you really need a job.
Yeah.
So you can't just see it and go, oh, writing that off. Like you want to at least give it a chance. So what a push and pull.
I know. And then it's like, well, even if they say, yeah, we saw them and we don't care,
yeah,
would you just take the job anyway? Like, I don't know.
Or if they go, oh, yes, we've seen them and, you know, of course we're committed to fixing this. Well, they could be full of shit also. Of course they're going to say that they're going to try and take steps to fix them. Who wouldn't? That's a political answer.
Exactly. But I'm sure Mary wants to do the right thing here. And she's like, well, what if there's just something else around the corner and like this is terrible and it's like I've dodged a bullet. Anyway, I did reply to her and it was in time for her interview, which is great. So I haven't heard how it all went. I've asked her for a bit of a follow-up of like, what was the outcome? Like, what did they say? But we did get to her with some advice and we wanted to share it here because we've had a couple of other things come through with reviews. So we did mention this in our red flags episode. So we're going to link that below. We have an episode that is titled "Beware of These Red Flags Before You Accept a Job." And we do touch on reviews and what to do, but we don't have a dedicated episode on it. So I thought it was worth doing. Now, firstly, before we go into how do we actually ask about it, what do you do in your interview? I want to talk about red flags for a moment here because we have that episode about red flags. And yes, there absolutely is an element of like taking the job off the pedestal, like thinking about whether this is right for you, all of that stuff. Red flags are very helpful. But then we get people who take that to the extreme and think that every little tiny thing means that they shouldn't accept the job. I want to throw up a thing of caution. Maybe you should think of them as like, okay, one red flag for every 10 green flags or 4 green flags. Like, every company is going to have something, you know, like it's all a trade-off.
Women in STEM.
Women in STEM. What's that?
You just used a ratio. Mean? We're using maths. Women in STEM.
Women in STEM. Anytime we use numbers, is that girl math? It's women in STEM. Okay, amazing.
We're trailblazers.
Yeah. So almost every single company, well, I would actually probably say every company will have bad reviews. All of them. And I want you to think about it like you're looking at something online, like you're reviewing a hotel that you might want to stay at or something. And maybe all of them are awesome, but you read one really bad review about the sheets weren't clean or like, you know, that the neighbors were really loud or whatever. And if there's only one bad review, well, you're just going to ignore it. Like, we all know that you're not going to listen to one bad review when there's all these other people who said it was amazing and there was no issues.
Can I just say, you would love to relate this to dating, except on dating profiles, there's no rating system, but that would be so handy if you could be like, Darren got a 7 out of 10 from his last date. Oh, but he got 2 twos before that. That would be great.
Well, it's funny you say that because I don't know if anyone's seen that. I think it's a Netflix show. It's called Upload. And it's basically where when you die, or like before you're about to die, they upload your consciousness into this online world. Anyway, it's all about that. But in the real world, it's like in the future, the dating apps have a rating feature like Uber, and you can give someone, like, after the hookup, like, how good were they? Would you see them again? Were they respectful or whatever? And they also have these like consent things that you have to say into the person's camera. Yes, I consent to this. Like, it's the future of dating. But they actually do that. How wild, how dystopian.
But you're right. If there's only one dodgy review or two, I ignore it. But if everyone's saying the same thing, you're going to take note.
And also, I think if you hear those same things in the good reviews, I think that makes me pay more attention. Like, if a good review says, we had an amazing time, definitely would come again, the neighbors were a little bit loud, but ultimately, you know, it was okay. That's when I'm like, oh, okay, they're happy people and they're giving kind of constructive feedback. Whereas if they're all really angry people saying that, then I'm just like, are you just like having a bad day? Like, you're just, you know, upset in general.
Hey, job hunters, big news. Our all new course, Interview Academy, is live and ready to transform your interview game. It's all the strategies from Sarah's one-on-one coaching, but without the limited time slots.
Yep. It takes you step by step by step through crafting your career story, coming up with your awesome best bits, and all the practice you need.
And guess what?
It's at a special launch price, never to be seen again. Get more information at interviewboss.com.au/interview-academy. It's linked in the show notes below.
Another random analogy, think about birth. It's the same thing. Some people thrive and say it was the best thing ever, and some people say it's awful and the most painful thing ever.
Yeah, and have traumatic experiences. All of those people are right. Yeah, that's a wild comparison.
It is, but I'm just thinking, people can go through the same thing, i.e. the company, the job, but have a completely different experience.
Yeah. So I have a lot of insight into this being on the other side, because I would obviously read reviews and interpret them and be like, are they right? Are they wrong? Because I would know what the person actually experienced. And a lot of the time you would read reviews and you would say, yeah, well, actually these two things that they mentioned, they're bloody right about that. Like, you know, they did experience XYZ from their manager and the company did do XYZ to them or whatever. But then there'd also be other content in the rest of their reviews that were like, well, now they're just yelling at clouds. Like, the rest of the content is just not right. They have touched on a couple of themes there that are really accurate. But what I want you to think about, and I'm going to ask you this question, Em, here's my challenge to you who's listening. How many reviews have you left personally for companies that you've worked for?
Zero. Never.
Yeah, exactly. My question here is it none? Because I'd say that that's most people. Most people don't leave reviews for the companies that they've worked for.
But you're going to leave one if you're pissed off and you hated them.
Exactly. And like, how many reviews have you left for like hotels, restaurants, you know, service places that you've been?
I think I've left one in my life and it was my brother-in-law's new business.
Fair.
And an eyebrow place that went above and beyond, but like never, it never pops in.
Well, I've actually left quite a few reviews for various different companies. Like when they do something exceptionally good or there's something I want to mention or whatever, like I do actually leave reviews, but I have never left one for a company I've worked for unless I've been specifically tapped on the shoulder and asked, can you please do this? So I want you to think about that if you have like a gripe or a thing that you want to talk about, a complaint, you'll probably go on and leave a review. If you have nothing to say or it was fine or it was great, you're probably not going to write anything. So just think about like the thousands and thousands of people that work for these large companies and then the fact that they've got 100 reviews over 10 years of everyone who's ever worked there. Like that's such a small sample size. But I'm not saying reviews are no good. That's definitely not what I'm saying. I'm just saying let's all take it with a grain of salt. Let's all not put too much weight on what the reviews say. We're looking for themes. We're looking for information. We're looking to establish a bit of a pattern, all of those kinds of things. Now, assuming that there is a trend and that you do want to ask, what do you reckon, Em? Can we ask about it? Should we address it?
I think so, but it's all about the delivery.
Yeah, you can absolutely ask about the reviews. I love that. And our questioner, Mary, said, is it a bad idea to ask and refer to it, or should I just pretend I've never seen them? No, you shouldn't pretend you've never seen them. You should definitely bring it up and ask about it. But it is in the delivery. And I think there's some ways that you can get the best out of it, because saying, what are you going to do about these reviews is like, well, what are they going to say about that?
Or are you aware that people have been saying this? That seems really accusatory and like, I'm trying to have a gotcha moment.
And also, what are they going to say to that? Like, if they're like, yes, we're aware, like, what's the next thing that they're going to say? And is that actually going to tell you anything about them? I think it's better to be like, what information is actually going to help me understand how they feel about this properly? So I think you should prep a question ready to ask them at the end, as well as a couple of others about different topics, like just unrelated stuff that you already want to know at the end anyway. And then you slot in one of them that's about this review topic. When you get to the end, you can then work out, well, have they already addressed all of that? Like, have they already talked a lot about how this team's had a lot of challenges and they're turning it around, they've got a new manager? Like, is it just like, oh, okay, I get it, all of my concerns have been addressed, and you could skip it? Or if you get to the end and you still want to know, you can still ask it. In terms of wording, I would try and pick a theme. So let's say all of the reviews say that management is really toxic or something like that, or that there's no work-life balance and you're expected to work around the clock. I would try and pick, hey, this is the theme that really concerns me about these reviews. And you could say something like this. I noticed that some of your Glassdoor reviews mentioned, insert the theme, and then ask the actual question at the end about what they're doing about it. And so that could sound like, for example, I notice people mention a lack of work-life balance here. What is the work-life balance in this role at the moment? Do you see how you're saying, I noticed in your Glassdoor reviews, people mention a lack of work-life balance. What's your work-life balance like? Or I noticed in your Glassdoor reviews, people tended to mention that management was potentially toxic. What's been your experience of senior management since you've been here? You know, like, you could kind of work out how to ask a question about that, that is kind of addressing the reviews, but not just saying, are those reviews true? Because again, what are they going to say to that?
Yeah, you're also just holding space for them to bring it up, like to give their side and address it. I like that. That sounds very non-confrontational.
And also, you're allowing them to say, well, give me evidence of what the alternative viewpoint is. Like, if people are saying it's bad work-life balance, here's your opportunity to tell me if there's work-life balance or not. And if they say something like, oh, well, look, it can be really tough based on the industry that we're in, and, you know, it is the kind of role that does require you to blah, blah, blah. Well, then you know, well, they're probably right. Those reviews are probably right. It doesn't mean that the whole company's toxic and it's terrible and whatever, but you should know that if work-life balance is a top priority for you, then they haven't really given you anything to refute those claims. Like, it probably is bad.
Is there any red flags, I suppose, that they could answer back with? Like, you would expect most people to be rational and accepting of this. Any red flags of if they, like, sort of snap back or start dumping on the one problematic person that they think might have wrote the review? Anything to look out for in the answer?
We talked about this in our red flag episode. And again, I'm so hesitant to say this because I feel like people sometimes take it out of context and they're like, oh, if they say that, then I can't work there. It's all personal. Like, if you don't care about work-life balance as much at this point in your career, like, don't worry about that. Like, it depends on what you care about. But if they then started to say, oh, yeah, well, we've had a couple of toxic employees and XYZ, and it's really unfortunate, you know, they've just decided to do that. And like, they're making it all about blaming those people who've left those reviews. Because as much as I talked earlier about, like, it's a small sample size, XYZ, I do also believe in where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, sure, we may not want to be taking at face value every word of those reviews. There's probably definitely another side to the story. Like, the amount of people I think I've talked about that I've had to be involved in a termination process that were very fair terminations for a good reason, but that person themselves would have a very different view on what happened. Like, there's always that, but it probably came from somewhere. And if, again, you're getting themes and things like that, probably something is true about that. If they don't take any ownership of any of that, that wouldn't satisfy me. Does that kind of make sense? Like, I'd want them to be saying, yeah, look, we have struggled with XYZ, you know, we have struggled with communication. We've had a couple of change initiatives. And honestly, in hindsight, we could have done these things differently. But ultimately, the majority of our people are happy with it. And there were a couple of people that chose to leave. I'd be like, okay, well, you've taken ownership of, we played a part in that. That would make me feel more comfortable.
So absolutely, you can ask. You should ask because you've seen it. It's a valid concern, especially if there's a trend. And remember, interviews are just as much about working out if this is going to be a good fit for you than it is the other way around. So yeah, you want to know all you can, and it's an opportunity for them to explain how they've handled that. Maybe they say, yeah, that was a really tough period and we've had a complete rebuild and we do things really differently now. And so that's no longer relevant. Or hey, we actually have had a new CEO since that review was written. Or it's an opportunity to learn more, but delivery is definitely key. Don't go in guns blazing. Leave it a bit open-ended. Mention you've read some, but leave it as a question that gives them an opportunity to chat about it.
You'll get the most out of it that way, because if you say, let's talk about the reviews, well, I don't know who left them. I don't know what the situation was. Like, we can't actually talk about the actual reviews.
Yes, in detail. They might not know exactly what you're referencing.
But you talk about the concerns that the reviews raise. I think that's the way to go about it. Our questions to ask at the end database will really help you here. If you don't already have that, you can jump on our website and grab a copy of that database so that you can grab an idea of questions that you might want to ask at the end. And you can filter by, hey, I want to ask about work-life balance. What are the options for how I could potentially phrase that and get some ideas there? Curiosity, though, should absolutely be your number one priority when looking at what you're going to ask at the end. Oh, one last thing that I really want to mention. In Mary's situation, she really wants to make sure that she has the opportunity to still take the job, even though maybe all these review things are real. She's like, well, I'm currently unemployed. Like, maybe I still want the job. I just wanted to throw in a last little note about if she has decided, even if all these reviews are true, I don't care, I still want the job, I need an income, at least it will be for a temporary period of time before I find something else, I would still advise her to ask about it. Playing the I don't care, I'm happy, whatever you want, please hire me person doesn't necessarily make you more attractive to be hired. Being the like, I don't have any questions, I don't care, I'll do whatever you want, when do I start? Like, I think you're better off still asking.
You can come off a bit disinterested. Yeah.
Yeah. Of like, I'll take anything. Yeah.
Whereas if it shows that you care and you've read up on the company, you've done your research, you're genuinely trying to picture yourself working there.
Yes. Yes. So I think even if you are gung-ho on I'm taking this job no matter what, I still think you should ask.
Ask and you shall receive.
Good luck out there.
Woo.
Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing our Aussie accents, follow on Apple or Spotify, or better yet, tell someone else about the show. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people. For more advice, inspiration, and a supportive community, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss and chuck us a follow. Who does all of our research, recording, editing, posting, website, email, social media, DMs?
We do.
Why do we do all of those things?
Because we love it.
Yeah, we do. We love helping you guys, and hearing from you that we've helped you in your job search in any way absolutely makes our day. But we also have full-time jobs, and this is something we do on the side. So there are no strings attached, and our podcast is always free wherever you are in the world.
But if we've helped you in your job search and you would like to say thanks, you can shout us a virtual coffee. Check out the link in the show notes or visit buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss. If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.
Okay, now we'll let the other Emma and Sarah get back to all the great content.